This is Chad Roberts, and you're listening to Awakened Radio. Welcome to another edition of Awakened to Grace. What a powerful message we have for today from Acts chapter 28. I had looked forward to this sermon even back when we decided to walk through the entire book of Acts, but I did not know that the Holy Spirit was going to enable us and help us to preach this strong of a sermon. I hope that you are greatly encouraged by what you hear today, and I hope that you'll listen all the way through to the powerful prayer time at the end. I hope today blesses you in a great way. So today we are in Acts 28, and we are going to study what is the last recorded satanic attack against the great apostle Paul. As you know, I'm unable to read the text, so I'm going to do my best to go from memory and to walk you through verses 1 through 11. And I want you to begin in verse number 1 because Luke continues his narrative. As we spent 3 weeks in chapter 27, Luke had us on the ship with them with 276 men. We went through the hurricane known as Euroslidon, the nor'easter that came up on the Mediterranean. For 14 days, they were without sun or stars, unable to navigate. And the angel of God came in verse 23 of chapter 27 and said, "Paul, God has granted to you that all who sail with you is going to be okay. But you're going to shipwreck on some island." And remember, we shared, sometimes God doesn't tell us where we're going. Sometimes he doesn't tell us where we're going to end up. But what he does say, you're going to be okay on the journey. Amen. And so Luke records in verse 1 of chapter 28, after we had been brought safely through. How many of you know God brings us through dangers, toils, and snares? And he says, after we had been brought safely through, we learned that we had landed on the island called Malta. So this is where they are. You can see where Malta is today on a map. It's literally a speck in the Mediterranean Sea. And so they're on this small island called Malta. And then Luke's going to record in verse 2 that the people showed unusual kindness. And now you got to think in your mind, they're on the tail end of this hurricane. And so Luke says, again, it began to rain and we were cold. You know, they're coming out of the seawater, you know. It's barely daybreak. You can imagine how cold they were. And it says that the people kindled a fire, unusual kindness. And here's what I want you to understand today. In verse number 3, Paul is carrying a bundle of sticks to the fire. Now, there's a principle here that I don't want us to miss. Why was Paul carrying a bundle of sticks? Now, you got to remember in chapter 27, in the beginning, Paul is captive. Paul is no more than a prisoner. Paul gives Julius counsel, gives the captain, the pilot counsel. They won't hear it. But now, by the end of chapter 27, they believe every word out of Paul's mouth. Now, Paul is no longer the captive. He is now the captain. Paul is giving orders. Paul is telling everyone what to do, including the centurion Julius. And everyone is listening to the apostle Paul. But do you know where we see him in chapter 28? We don't see him barking out orders. You know what we see him doing? We see him serving. What a lesson to us. I think if we're going to see God do extraordinary things as he did in the life of the great apostle, do you know what you and I have to be willing to do? We have to be willing to do the small things in life. We have to be willing to do the insignificant things, things that most people would never notice. We have to be willing to do the little things, because let me tell you what God blesses. God blesses the small things. And if you're someone that you're waiting on God to do this enormous work in your life, well, you'll probably continue to wait. But when God sees you busy doing the little things, That's when God will bless you. That's when God will work in your life. Amen? It's not the big things God's looking for. It's the little things. Right now in our church, we're looking for leaders. We're looking for more leaders. We are more than tripling our current deacon team. We're looking for leaders who will help us go forward in many different ways. And you know what we're looking at? The ones who are doing the little things. Not the ones who are doing big things. No, the ones who are doing the small, insignificant things. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit spoke to me this week. I've been pondering the story of Elisha when he goes to the widow and she's about to lose her two sons because of debt. And she has nothing. She literally has nothing. And do you remember what the prophet said to her? Gather every vessel you can. Every vessel. She had a little jar of oil, just a little bit of oil. And do you remember the miracle that God did? Her sons went about gathering all vessels, they even borrowed vessels, every vessel they could find. And do you remember what happened to that jar of oil? It poured and poured and poured, and it filled every vessel until there were no more vessels. And when the vessels were finished, you remember what happened to the oil? It ceased. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, get every single vessel you can get. Will you be a vessel in this church? Will you come to the Lord empty and say, God, whatever you want to do through me, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, church, we have work coming in 2019 that is unprecedented. And I'm going to show you today why I believe what God did on the island of Malta, God is about to do in this house. So Paul is serving. He's doing the little things. He's carrying the sticks. He could have ordered that out. He could, by at this point, he could have told Julius to go do it, and I think Julius would have done it. But see, Paul was a servant, and that's who God uses. So Paul is carrying the sticks, and Luke's going to record within those sticks was a viper. Within those sticks was a highly poisonous snake. Now, there are not any poisonous snakes today on the island of Malta, but apparently there was then because every one of the natives, they all knew what it was and they all expected him to swell up and die. And so Luke says that when Paul got near the fire because of the heat, the viper came and bit him on the hand and clung to him. Now, I don't know how you are, but I don't do snakes at all. At all. There was last year coming into my neighborhood right at my driveway, very close to it, there's a bridge, and there was this long, long black snake trying to make its way across the road. So what are you going to do? You're going to get out and look at it, right? Well, I'm about 20 feet from it, and it begins to move, and I jump back, you know, and I'm already 20 feet from it. I don't do snakes at all. If I'm that afraid of a snake that far back, what would you do if a snake bit you on the hand? Not just a snake. I'm talking a poisonous snake. Unless you're Troy Jarvis Comey, and he's kind of crazy. I don't know. I've seen him mess around, and I don't do that. What would you do if a highly venomous snake bit you on the hand? I'm telling you right now, I would freak out. I'd lose my mind. I'd absolutely go into panic mode. But do you know what the great apostle Paul did? He shook it off in the fire. He didn't lose his cool. He didn't go berserk. No, he shook it off. Let me tell you, I don't care what pressure's in your life. You can handle it by the grace of God. You don't have to lose your mind. You don't have to fall apart. You don't have to fall to pieces. You can handle whatever's going on because of God's grace. Boy, God's ministering to me about his grace. You know what the number 5 represents in the Bible? You know, the grace of God. Verse number 5, he shook the creature off into the fire. It's God's grace. Now the viper bit him and clung to him. Do you remember what Luke writes here? Luke says that the natives, the people, they watch this and they go, oh, this man is a murderer. Read it. This man is a murderer. He has escaped the sea, but justice has caught up with him. Now, in the original Greek and in most translations, especially the ESV, which is what I personally use and prefer. In the most translations, the word justice is a capital J, and so in the Greek, it's a capital letter. Do you know why it's capitalized? Because justice was a god on the island. Justice was a god that they worshiped, a god called Justice, and they go, oh, the gods have got him. Has people ever judged you for calamity in your life? Has people ever rejected you over calamity? People ever walked away from you, isolated you, hurt you, talked bad about you over some kind of calamity that's came to you? They did the Apostle Paul. And you know what amazes me as we've walked with Paul through all these chapters of the Bible for these 2 years? You know what amazes me is that Paul still had an incredible ability to still love and minister to people, even when they mistreat him like this. Not one person, does Luke record, not one person offered to help the apostle. Not one person came to his side. Not one person offered their help. Instead, what they did is they offered a finger and they said, this man is a murderer. And then verse 5, Paul shook the creature off into the fire. And then the Bible says they waited. They watched him and waited for him to swell up and die. And then it says, fascinating, it says they watched him for a long time. Now, what's a long time? I don't know. Luke doesn't say if a long time was 30 minutes, if it was an hour, if it was 3 hours. I mean, you know, it's an island. I picture it being island time. I don't know. I don't know what, you know. I picture if you're bitten by a snake, 5 minutes is a long time. I don't know. But Luke says they watched him for a long time. And you know what? Oh, I love it. I love the way Luke writes. Luke says, but he suffered no harm. Glory to God. Let me tell you what's happening with me and my affliction with this vision loss. I am suffering no harm. Do you know why I'm suffering no harm? Because I live out of my spirit. I preach out of my spirit. I pray out of my spirit. I get joy out of, not my flesh, not my flesh. This flesh can do whatever it does. It's out of my spirit that I live because I have the fullness of God's joy. It don't matter what we gain. It doesn't matter what we lose. It doesn't matter what comes into our life, what goes out of our life. No, the people of God suffer no harm. This is what happened to the apostle. That viper clung to him, and that poison, by the supernatural power of God, that poison never entered his bloodstream. And you know what the people did? The same people that judged him. You know what they did? When he suffered no harm and they watched him for a long time, what did he do during that long time? Luke doesn't tell us. That's one question I have for Luke when we get to heaven. Well, what did he do? You know what I think he did? I think he went back and got more sticks. I think he literally shook it off and he went back and he found some more. And they're waiting on him to swell up and die. Let me tell you can't pay attention to the people who hopes you swell up and die. You pay no attention to them. You go on, you do whatever God has called you to do, and you go on and you pay no attention to them. Amen? Well, when he didn't suffer any harm, those same people, you know what they did? They changed their mind. They changed their mind. And when they, after they called him a murderer and he suffered no harm, then they said, well, he's a god. You can't trust people. Because let me tell you what people will do. They'll either hurt your feelings or they'll swell your pride. And you can't pay attention to either one. The hurt feelings and the rejection or the swelling of your pride, both are dangerous to a believer. And you can't let people do one or the other two. You got to go on and follow Jesus and pay no attention to people. Amen? Pay no attention to it. Now, Luke doesn't tell us what happens after they called him a god, but we know what happened when Paul and Barnabas were in Iconium. Do you remember that earlier in our study? And the people called Barnabas and Paul gods. And do you remember what Paul did? He stopped them on the spot and said, no, 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 no. We are servants of the Most High God. You worship him. And no doubt Paul did the same at Malta. So they called him a god, and here this thing is, this viper, this creature, this poisonous snake, and it's clinging to him. And in verse 5, he shakes it off into the fire. Let me tell you, friends, you can't allow things to cling to you. You can't allow past hurts to hang on. You can't allow bitterness to hang on. You can't allow rejection to hang on. You can't allow things you've suffered in your past. At some point, you have got to shake it off into the fire, and you can't let it stay there. We got to follow Paul's example. And what did Jesus tell his followers? Jesus told his followers, you take up any deadly thing, it's not going to harm you. You drink any deadly poison, it's not going to harm you. Now, some crazy people get that way out of whack. That doesn't mean you tempt God. Jesus did not even tempt God. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus did not even allow Satan to use him to tempt God. And you don't tempt God either. You take up poisonous snakes, you drink poison, well, you're going to stand before God. Literally and spiritually. So what did Jesus mean? Exactly what happened to Paul. This deadly thing, this satanic thing, tried to kill him. Let me tell you, friends, Satan would kill you if he could. He would stop you in your tracks if he could. But God gives us the supernatural ability to shake it off. And that's exactly what Paul did. Now, what I want you to see today is what happened on this island of Malta, I believe in my heart and my spirit, God is doing right now inside this house with this church. This viper was satanic. I think it was Satan's last attempt to stop Paul from getting to Rome because Jesus wanted him in Rome. That's been confirmed 3 or 4 times in the scriptures by this point. Even the angel in chapter 27, verse 23 said, Paul, you must stand before Caesar. Euroslidon's not going to stop you. You must stand before Caesar. It was God's will that Paul go to Rome and stand before Caesar. Okay? And I think this is Satan's last and final and great attempt to kill the Apostle Paul before he makes it to Rome. But God's will is going to prevail. Amen. So here he is. He's bitten by a highly poisonous viper. He shakes it off in the fire. People are so amazed that he didn't die. They're calling him a god. And now the chief man of the island, Luke calls him the chief man. He was the most important man of the island. He most likely owned the largest estate because Luke says he owned great lands. In other words, Luke is saying, you should see this man's pad. He's got a serious house. He had to have had a major estate because Luke says for 3 days he treated us hospitably. He entertained us for 3 days. We're not talking Paul. We're talking 276 men. Could you house 276 men? This man was wealthy. But how many of you know money doesn't help you when you need God? Money doesn't mean anything when you need help. Great wealth cannot help you when you need God. And it says that Publius was the chief man of the island, and he owned the greatest estate of the island. And what it says is, I like the way Luke says it, it so happened, it so happened at that time, God orchestrated this, that Publius's father lay sick with fever and dysentery. Now, what's dysentery? It was an infection within the intestines. And he's laying sick with fever and dysentery. Now, I want you to get this. Say amen if you're with me today. Amen. Don't miss this, because this is the whole point. Luke says that Paul went to the home of Publius and visited his father. And listen to what Luke says, because every word of the Bible is important. Every phrase matters. And listen to what he says. he laid hands on his father, and his father recovered. Why did Paul lay hands? Because Jesus said, these signs shall follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen? But do you know what Satan tried to do? Now think about this. Follow me. When he laid hands on Publius, on his father, and he recovered from this fever. Do you know what the Bible says? Luke says everyone on the island who suffered from disease came and was cured. Are you kidding me? Can you see what Satan tried to prevent? He tried to bite. He tried to stop. He tried to kill the very hands that would lay hands on the sick and present the gospel. He tried to bite the very hands that would pen the word of God as we know it today. He tried to stop. He tried to prevent. Because he knew what the hands of Paul would accomplish. This isn't in the Bible, but this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. A week or two ago, I was just thinking about this, and I just thought in my mind, I bet every time that Paul laid hands on someone on Malta, what did he see? He saw the two scars from the fangs. What a reminder. Praise God for scars. And some of you have got scars from what Satan has tried to do. Let me tell you, don't hide those. Don't hide those. God uses them to his glory. Amen. Now, many of you know, because we've been praying fervently for many people, but, you know, there's many families right now in our church that literally they're walking through hell. There are marriages that are barely surviving. There are people in need of healing. There are loved ones that we have that are lost, and we're crying out to God that God would save them and God would deliver them. There's so many things that we are praying for right now. And let me tell you what I feel personally. I feel right now that there is a viper that has come as God is heating things up in our church. There's a viper that's come and he's tried to bite the hand of our church. And what are we going to do? And there's some of you that Satan has bit you. And like Paul, you could say, God, all I was doing was serving. All I was doing was carrying stick. All I wanted to do was serve the church and serve God. All I wanted to do was make a difference. And why did I get bit? And you've wanted to quit. You've wanted to back down. You've wanted to stop. But let me tell you, there's no stop in the people of God. There's no quit in us. There's no backing down in us. What we have got to learn, what I have got to learn, what you've got to learn, what we must learn as a church is how to take this viper and shake it off to God's glory. That's what we must learn. And let me tell you, when we learn this as a church, when this house really learns how to take these satanic attacks and shake them off, you know what's going to happen? We are going to stretch forth our hand to this city. We're going to stretch forth our hand to family after family after family after family. And God is going to bring healing through this house like never before. Do you understand? Amen. But what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is verse 5. We must stand in the grace of God and shake it off. And if you're allowing things to cling to you this morning, past hurts, past failures, past sins, past regrets, you have to shake it off today. For God to use you effectively, you have got to learn to shake it off. And if we're going to go forward in what God has called us to do, we have got to go forward shaking this thing off and saying, no demon in hell is going to cling to me. We're going to go forward. Why? Because God has got so many people for us to lay hands on. And you're going to see those scars when we lay hands on people. You're going to see them, but that's okay. Because what it is a reminder of God's faithfulness. It is a reminder of God's grace over our lives. So here they are on the island of Malta. The people only know, as far as we know, they only know one God, and that God was called Justice. But Paul wrecked the island. He stayed for 3 months. Church history tells us that Publius became the pastor of the church started at Malta. And do you know that today, 2,000 years later, there are today 359 churches on the little island of Malta. Paul wrecked the whole island. Do you understand what I'm saying? The place was never the same after the Apostle Paul showed up. And that's why Satan tried to bite his hand. That's why Satan tried to kill him. And I'm telling you, if you'll stand, if you'll go forward in God's grace, if you'll say there's no quit in me, there's no backing down in me, I will go forward in God's grace. You will change people's lives too. God will use you in an extraordinary way. God has a plan for this church. Satan knows it as well as God knows it. And there's a great warfare going on right now. And let me tell you, we've got one responsibility, that's shake it off. And when we're able to shake this thing off into the fire, we're going to have the God-given ability to stretch forth our hand. But let me tell you what's at stake. The reason Satan is so fierce, the reason why he's trying to put his venom inside of us, because he knows that we're a church, that we're going to stretch forth our hand, and he would give anything if we would withdraw it. You're in this church today and you've withdrawn your hand. I'm telling you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's time to stretch forth your hand again. You've stopped serving God because hurts have come into your life. Problems have come into your life. People have walked out of your life. Pressures have come into your life. And you've stopped serving God. I'm telling you, it's time to stretch forth your hand. Don't withhold it. There's work to do. God's going to get his glory out of this house. Do you believe that? God's going to get his glory out of us. We have one responsibility. We got to shake it off. We have got to shake it off. And I believe that if we'll come before the Lord today and we say, God, all the hurt in my life, all the failure in my life, all the regret in my life, all the grief in my life, all the problems of my life, all the trials of my life, all the temptations of my life, God, I shake it off. And I believe if we'll come and say, God, I'm an empty vessel. Fill me with the oil of the Holy Spirit. Church, we will stretch forth our hand to this city and far beyond, and we will touch family after family after family. We're at a crossroads. Which way are we going to go? We're either going to sit down and withhold our hand, or we're going to rise and shake it off, and we're going to stretch forth our hand with healing for this city and this community. I want you to stand with me right now. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know where your life is. I don't know where your service is. But today, the word of the Lord is for you. And if you're someone that you have withheld your hand, you've pulled it back because Satan, somewhere in some circumstance, with some instance, he has bit you. I'm telling you now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, shake it off today. Shake it off into the fire of the Lord. Because I'm telling you, if you will not allow that thing to cling to you, I'm telling you on the authority of God's word, it will no longer harm you, but you must shake it off. You can't allow it to stay. It will be sin if you allow it to stay. You have to shake it off. And maybe today you're confused and you're saying, God, all I wanted to do was serve you. Why did I get hurt? All I wanted to do was carry sticks. Why did I get bit? And you're saying, God, why would you wound me? Let me tell you why Paul got wounded. Because God knew that Paul would shake it off. And through his hands would come healing. Let me tell you, friend, that's why God allowed you to get hurt. So you can shake it off. And with your hands, pray for others. You say, Chad, when I look at my hands, they're scars. That's okay. That's all right. God uses scarred hands. One day you and I will stand before Jesus Christ. And we'll touch and we'll feel the scars in his hands. It's okay. Today, if you need to come pray, you come. You come right now. You slip out of your seat. You come and you say, God, I'm shaking it off. I'm shaking it off. I'm no longer going to be stopped. I'm no longer going to be hindered. I'm no longer going to sit on the sidelines. I'm no longer going to withdraw my hand. I'm no longer going to carry the hurt. I'm not going to let the poison come inside my body. I'm not going to let the poison come inside my mind. I'm not going to let it poison my marriage. I'm not going to let it poison my soul. I'm not going to let it no longer. I'm going to shake it off in God's name. I'm going to shake it off into the fire. And I'm going to go forward. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to go forward in Jesus' name. You come, you lay it at the altar. Let me tell you, there's fire down here this morning. You shake it off in the fire. You shake it off in the fire and say, no more, no more, no more. There's God, put a resolve in me. Put a resolve in me, a Holy Ghost resolve that I will not stop. I will not quit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, work in our church. Work in our church, God. Do a work that's not man-centered. Do a work that comes only through prayer and only through fasting. And give us the ability to shake it off. Give us the ability to stretch forth our hands. Give us the ability to pray over people. Give us the ability to see God restore what Satan has stolen. Give us the ability. Give us the ability, oh God. Give us the ability. And we will not stop. We will not stop. We will not stop. Satan can send whatever viper he wants, but we will shake it off in the fire. Hallelujah. 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 We will not stop, God. We will not stop. We will not stop. Some of you need to come forward today because you say, God, I'm an empty vessel. I'm an empty vessel, God. If you would pour your oil of the Holy Spirit and fill me today, come and stand along the walls, stand around the cross, stand. I don't care, kneel, lay in the floor, stand, do whatever you need to do, but say, God, fill me, oh God, with the Holy Spirit, fill me, oh God. I will be a vessel. I will be a vessel. I will be a vessel. Empty me of me and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 God, we need empty vessels. We don't need people of pride. We don't need people of self-ambition. God, we need empty vessels. We don't need people, God, that they'll let past things cling to them and they'll let that hurt cling. God, no, give us the ability to shake it off. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. We're at a crossroads as a church. We're at a crossroads. And as we come to the end of Acts, you are asking us, Holy Spirit, what direction are you going to go? Are you going to go through the motions? Are you going to go through the routine? Are you going to go through business as usual? Or are you going to shake it off? And are you going to lay hands on the sick? Lay hands on marriages? See souls redeemed? Which direction are we going to go? And God, we tell you today, we'll shake it off in the fire. We'll shake it off. We'll shake it off, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Empty vessels, Lord. Empty vessels. I could feel the Holy Spirit saying, I don't know what God wants you to do, but you need to let your pride go. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you're so filled with pride. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will not compete. He will not compete. Empty yourself today and say, God, make me a vessel. Make me a vessel that you can pour your oil into. Pour your oil into. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, that island was wrecked because of the Apostle Paul. Within 3 months, he changed everything through the power of the gospel. Oh, God, use us in this city, Lord. Use us in people's lives. Lord, use us to get sin out of the way. Use us, Lord, beyond anything that we could ask, think, or imagine. Use us, God. But help us understand if we're going to pray that. There'll be times that vipers try to bite us. There'll be times that vipers cling to our hands. Oh God, give us the grace. Give us the enablement. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit to shake it off and to go forward. Help us today, Lord God. Help us. You know, I feel in my spirit to pray this, and I want all of us, those of us at the altar, those in the chairs, I want us all to pray this, that we're going to trust God. We're going to trust God. And listen to what the Bible says. Paul suffered no harm. And I want us to pray that right now as a church, we're not going to suffer any harm. We're not going to suffer any harm from the enemy. God, give us your protection this morning, God. Put a hedge of protection about us that no matter what Satan does, no matter what he tries, he's just constantly frustrated by this church. Constantly frustrated because we know what the Word of God says. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help those who are no longer serving to begin serving. Those who, because of hurt, withdrew their hand, that God, now they would stretch forth their hand and serve once again. Help us, Lord. Help us. So, Lord, we receive your strength today. We receive your infilling today. We receive the power of the Holy Spirit today. We receive it, God. And now as a final prayer, I want us all praying this. I want us all in agreement. If you would, I want you to pray out loud with me. I want you to pray out loud. I want you to amen. I want you to yes. I want you to agree. We're going to pray right now that God is going to release extraordinary miracles through the stretching forth of our hands, that marriages are restored, bodies are healed, souls are saved, minds are set free, addictions are broken off. I'm talking extraordinary, that no man can make it happen. Only God can move such mountains. Only God can open such seas. Only God can do what we're about to stand still and watch God do. Amen? So all of us, let's pray. Let's lift our voice. Oh, God, open up miracles in this house, oh, God. Open up miracles in our city. Lord, don't let us be a powerless people. Don't let us be a prayerless people. But God, enable us. God, fill us that when we pray, things happen because there is power of the Holy Spirit about us. That God, when we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That God, when we counsel marriages, it shall be restored. That when we pray for souls, the eyes of their heart will be enlightened. Oh God, give us power. Clothe us in power. Endue us with power. Power that doesn't come from music. Power that doesn't come from money. Power that doesn't come
out from influence, but power only that comes through the Holy Spirit and through prayer and fasting. Oh God, set us aflame, set us ablaze with the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit. And we submit ourselves. We submit ourselves to the trials. We submit ourselves to the fire. We submit ourselves to the process. We submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that you would give us more grace, more grace, more grace. And while we submit ourselves to the Lord, we resist the devil and all that he would try, all that he would attempt. Oh God, when Satan tries to come in, let us take the word of God and let us lay it to him and lay it to the kingdom of darkness. Because there is no quit in us. There's no quit in us. There's no quit. There's no quit. There's no quit. And if we have to crawl into this building, we'll do it in prayer. We'll do it in faith. But we will not quit. We will not quit. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Miracles, Lord. Miracles that only the hand of God can do. And when we see them, we'll bow our heads and we'll say, Jesus Christ gets all glory and all exaltation. And no man and no angel and no church and no leader will get glory. Only God. Hallelujah. Pastor Phil, you can come.